You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa, khususan ala sayyidi rasuli wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for once again having the opportunity to finish the recitation of the Qur'an during Salah. And it's a very beautiful journey. Every single year when we start off Ramadan and we start off with the Surah Fatiha and Surah Baqarah, and every day as we pass by we make an announcement that today we finished off Surah Baqarah, today we finished Surah Ali Imran, today we finished Surah Nisa. And as we're reading through these juz and working our way towards the completion, personally for me, this is a very emotional journey. And the reason why it's so emotional is because it takes me back almost 20 years ago when I was 6 years old and my parents sent me to memorize the Qur'an. And the day we start Surah Fatiha and start reading Surah Baqarah, all those pictures and all those images start flashing past my eyes. And every surah we finish, every page we read, I remember the struggles that I had on that page and the difficulties that I had on that ayah. And as we work our way through the Qur'an, I remember I had a mistake here once. And I remember once here I got a little hit by my teacher. And then this ayah was very hard. This page was very hard. And I remember when I was in the 23rd juz, I said to my parents that I can't do it anymore. It's too hard for me. I'm giving up. And when I was on this juz, I actually pulled out for a little bit. And then on this juz, I got back in. And today when we were reading Surah Al-Lahab, Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab, actually Wal Asr, when we were reading Wal Asr, I actually couldn't hold myself back and I was flowing in tears. And the reason is because Surah Asr actually has a very big story of my life. I was maybe 5 years old at the time and I went to the local masjid. And the local imam, may Allah reward him wherever he is in the world and bless his family, he was teaching us Qur'an, and we were very young kids. Very, very young. 4 or 5 years old. And my father's dream was that we become hafiz of the Qur'an. So he said to my father that I will take the responsibility to make your son hafiz. So we sat with him, and the first surah we learned was Surah Nas. The second surah was Surah Falaq. The third surah was Surah Ahad, Ikhlas. And then like this, we worked our way back. And finally when I came to Surah Asr, I learned Surah Asr, and he said to me, read it. So I read it to him, and I made so many mistakes in that small surah that he said to me, you know what, Hussein, you should just give up altogether. This really isn't for you. He said, I've been telling your parents that you've been reading good, but the reality is that it's taken you so long to read this much, and you're still making so many mistakes. This probably just isn't for you. And I think this is the time right now where maybe you should consider doing something else. And today, when I think about that, I think to myself that he was being sincere then. And the reason why Surah Asr is so powerful on me is because I know that my teacher, what he was saying was the truth. I was never worthy of it. Wallahi al-Azim, his words were right. I wasn't worthy of it. Not then, not after, and not today. But today when we read Min al-Jinnati wa al-Nas, I felt like this accomplishment that I just climbed Mount Everest. That once again, somehow, we recited the Qur'an. And trust me, sometimes when we are reciting in the Taraweeh prayer, there are times where even I don't know what the next verse is, but Allah is putting it on the tongue. And if I try to actually write down what I read to you in the Taraweeh prayer on a piece of paper, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. Because the words and their fluency and the way they're there, the verses, every single part of the memorization of the Qur'an, I swear by Allah, is nothing less than a miracle. And when we were finishing off this journey of the Qur'an, like I was saying, when we read the Qur'an and Taraweeh prayer, for me it's a very emotional journey. I keep thinking of my parents. That how many years passed by, when my parents every single night, they stood during the nights making dua to Allah that I want my son to become hafiz. I remember when I was young and when I wanted to study, my father went to drop me off to the madrasa. And the doctor said to him he shouldn't go to drop me off because he had injured his leg and he was on a crutch. And the drive from our house to the madrasa, from Kentucky to Buffalo, New York, if I remember, was something between 10 to 12 hours. And my father said, whether I have to lose my leg or not, I will never accept that my son goes to memorize the Qur'an, and I'm not there for the first day. and he drove us all the way to the madrasa. And I remember when I was going into the class, I was 6 years old, and when I was going into the class, I turned back on my father and I waved at him while he was leaving, and he was standing on a crutch. And today when I go back to meet that very same father, subhanAllah, now that youth is gone, all that hair has gone white, his back is now hunching down. And when I meet him, I think to myself that this was the legend. He was the true man. Had it not been for him and my mother, it was impossible. Now why do I share all of this with you guys? The reason why I share this is because the journey of protecting the Quran, preserving the Quran, is a very unique journey. It requires heart. It requires confidence. It requires trust on Allah. You give up sometimes, but then you have to say, no, Allah loves me and I have to keep going. Sometimes you cry because you lose hope in yourself. But then at times you feel, no, I have to do it. Sometimes when you come back to the community on holidays, the people in the community make fun of you saying that, oh, I remember once someone told my father that, why are you sending your kids to study the deen? They're going to grow up to be beggars one day. And my father literally, he felt prey of this target, this arrow of shaitan. And he called my relatives and he said to them, send my sons back immediately. I will no longer have them memorize the Quran. He lost hope. But the journey of the Quran is just of that nature. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he started his journey, he couldn't believe it either. When that first revelation came, even he couldn't believe it. And he came to his beloved wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, and she calmed him down and she said to him that this journey was going to be long and he needed to be patient. And she gave him the warmth that he needed. She gave him the love that he needed. She gave him the support that he needed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through his life, all the revelation that came to him, obviously he was given the strength by Allah to bear the revelation, but the people around him served as a very powerful support for him to fulfill his mission, for him to fulfill the preservation of the Quran. That's why my teacher used to say, family plays a very big role in preserving the Quran. Listen to this very carefully. My sheikh used to say, family plays a very big role in preserving the Quran. And we learn this through the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because revelation started in the arms of Khadija and ended in the lap of Aisha. It started in the arms of Khadija. And where did it end? In the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha. We realize as Muslims that the most powerful legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the Quran. And the people that are sitting here that were not given the opportunity to memorize the Quran, today when you sit here, I'm sure in your heart you're thinking, only if I was at the front today on the Musalla. Today I could have been the person reading. Yes, no? Everyone has that feeling, right? And if I can't do it, then I want my child there. You know, we felt the very same way. I remember very clearly, every time when there was a hifz graduation in the madrasa, when the students were graduating, when they would graduate, and when I was sitting in the crowd, and I hadn't graduated at this point, I would cry. And I would think to myself, oh Allah, what did I do wrong that I haven't finished my memorization of the Quran yet? Why can't I do it? So every person in this gathering, we should have a great desire to memorize the Quran. And if we can't do it, there should be a fire that burns in our heart that, why can't I memorize the Quran? We can all memorize something, if not the full Quran, at least Juz Amma. If not the full Quran, at least Surah Yasin. If not the full Quran, at least Surah Rahman, Surah Waqiyah, Alif Lam Mim Sajda, Surah Kahf. The verses of the Quran that we need to recite on a weekly basis that were prescribed to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At least that much we should memorize. If there are people in this community who are telling me that I am 60 years old today, or 40 years old, or even 20 years old for that matter, and I haven't found the time to memorize Surah Yasin till today, then I'm sorry, you have no excuse at all. You have no excuse at all. Because if you had the love for it, you could have done it. Trust me, when we memorized the Quran, it's not like we sat down in front of it and started reading it and it was done. There were times I still remember. The first time I ever recited three lines to my teacher was after I had finished memorizing two juz. I memorized the 30th juz, the 29th juz, and the opening verses of Qad Sami'a Allah. That was the first time in my life I recited how many lines to my teacher? Three lines. You guys can learn more than three lines. You're so intellectual, you're so smart, you have businesses, you run families, you run empires of your own. And we're saying we can't memorize the Quran? Of course we can do it. We just have to have trust in ourselves. Memorizing the Quran is a blessing from Allah, and only that person can have it who is truly accepted by Allah. It's not about the power of the memory. There are so many people that I knew as students who studied with me who were very intellectual. But the one thing they didn't have was the memorization of the Quran. They didn't have it. You know, there's a very good scholar from the Indian subcontinent by the name of Shah Anwar Kashmiri, rahmatullahi alayh. Marna Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullahi alayh. They say regarding him that he was so intellectual, he was so smart, that they said he had photographic memory. He would look, he used to say himself, that if I glanced at something once, 40 years. 40 years what? I'm not forgetting it. And if I stared at it with the intention of memorizing it, done. That's not, no one can erase it from the memory card. It's set. When the Muslims would have debates with the Qadianis in India, when they would sit in front of the courts and in the courtrooms and have debates, the Qadianis would bring all of their, they would bring all their books and bring their scholars. And the Muslims, when they would come to debate them, they wouldn't bring any books or any scholars, they would just bring Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri next to them. And every time they would, these guys would bring a reference, they would turn to him and say, is the reference right? He would say, yes, the reference right. They would say, is the reference right? He would say, the reference is right, but he skipped a line while quoting. This happened once. He said, the guy skipped a line while quoting. And the judge said, what's your proof? He said, I don't have any proof. The proof of this, that he skipped a line while quoting that text, is that the only manuscript of that book lies in the library of Al-Azhar. I went there a few years ago, I read the book. He said, hold the case, stop here, we will go there and bring a Xerox. They used to call it Xerox, like an image of the cop, of the book. We will go and bring an image of the book. When they brought the image of the book, the case was held on pause. When they brought it back, they realized that that person really skipped a line while quoting the text. I mean, this guy was a genius. They used to call him Chalta Pirta Kutub Khana, like a walking library. You know, I'll share one story with you regarding him. You know, when he was a big sheikh, he was a sheikh of Darul Uloom Deoband for some years. He taught many collections of hadith there, and taught many classes there. So one day, what happened was that there was a robbery in the city, and the police were looking for the robber. They only had partial information regarding the robber, so they were searching for him. So when Sheikh Anwar Shah Kashmiri was reading the newspaper, he looked at the partial description and said, oh, I know this guy. They said, oh, how do you know him? He said, trust me, I know the guy. They said, we have 5 potential suspects. Will you be able to spot him? He said, of course. Bring the 5 in front of me. Now when the 5 came in front of him, he looked at the guy and said, let these 4 go. This is the guy right here. Now this guy, he looked at Sheikh Anwar Shah Kashmiri and said to him, Tum ho kon? Like, who are you? I don't know you. I've never seen you before. Tumhara maine maal liya hai, kisi ko maar diya maine jaan se. Did I kill someone in your family? Did I rob you once some time back? How do you know me? So Sheikh Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi said, well, when I was young, I left Kashmir to study. And I was traveling and traveling and traveling. And every day I journeyed from my search of knowledge, I had to pray to Allah and beg Allah that I would somehow feed myself and I wouldn't collapse out of hunger. So what I would do is that I would study during the day and I would stand outside the masjid and beg during the evenings. Because that's where the poor people in our countries, where they line up outside the masajid. He said, I was in the masjid, outside the masjid one day after salah, and I was begging for money, hoping that someone would give me some money. And people were walking past, someone threw a coin at me, someone threw another coin at me. And the hunger became so severe in my stomach that I fainted. And while I was fainting, the last thing I saw was your ID card hanging around your neck. Your Shanakht card. You guys know what a Shanakht card is? If you're from India, Pakistan, you know exactly what it is. It's an ID card that everyone has. He said, you had your ID card on your bag that was hanging around your neck. That's the last thing that I saw before I fainted. And I remembered all the information. I matched 1-to-1 and I know you're the criminal. The guy confessed. He said, you're right. I am the criminal. This man. I mean, I can go on stories and stories and stories regarding him. And these stories, by the way, I had the chance to hear them directly from his son, Maulana Anzar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayh. I heard them directly from his son. His father, his son would sit in front of us. He passed away as well. And he would tell us stories and stories about his father, that my father was like this, my father was like that. People who say that he had photographic memory, they did not exaggerate. He said, one day my father, everyone said to him, Sheikh, you've memorized every book, but you haven't memorized the Quran yet. Why not? He said, I don't know. I try, but it just doesn't happen. You know what? I'm going to do it today. So he set a day. He went inside the room, locked the door, took a copy of the Quran in, and he said, I'll be back by Dhuhr time, inshallah. I'm just going to read through it once, and I'll have it memorized. You guys do whatever you want. So his family started preparing the food, the biryani, you know, the preparation for the dawat, because they were expecting at Dhuhr there was going to be a big dawat, because Maulana Shah Kashmiri was going to be hafid by then. So they sat there, started preparing, and he said they were like, you know, people were preparing for him to become hafid. They were standing outside and waiting. Maybe someone was standing there with the, what do they call it? Harka gulab? In our Indian culture, they have this, right? Gulab ka har, har ka gulab. The wrong way around. The of clause is a little tricky sometimes. Yeah. So you know, in our Indian culture, they have they make these the garland of roses, where they make a big necklace out of roses. It's a little annoying, but still. So they had these ready. They were going to give it to him as soon as he got up. When he got out, he was scratching his head like this. He says, "Hazrat, ho gaya? Is it done?" He said, "Kam bakhat surah Fatiha se aage nahi nikal paya main." He goes, "Oh, foolish man, I couldn't get past surah Fatiha. Every time I would read the ayah, I would go deeper into the meaning, deeper into the meaning, deeper into the meaning. I couldn't get past surah Fatiha. He goes, the Quran's too deep. I can't memorize it." And the one book he couldn't memorize was the Quran Kareem. That was the one book Shah Sahab was not hafidh of. Every other book he was hafidh of. But the one book he couldn't memorize from beginning till end, that today our children are doing, was the memorization of the Quran. The Quran is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person should desire to memorize it. And you should want your kids to memorize it. My father couldn't memorize the Quran. His only dream was that I couldn't do it. My son will definitely do it. No matter whatever happens. If you couldn't do it, you need to make sure your children do it. If you can make a commitment in this Ramadan, on this blessed night, which could possibly be Laylatul Qadr, that I make a commitment that from my progeny, there will be those children who will memorize the Quran, then this night will testify for you on the Day of Judgment. Qulu Ameen. Trust me, this night will testify for you on the Day of Judgment. People in America can't believe it that there are Huffaz here. Outside America, you tell anyone we have Huffaz in America, they don't believe it. They think that we still need to invite people from England and Canada to lead our Taraweeh prayer. They don't know what's happening here. You come to Chicago. The seniors of Chicago tell me that there was a time where, you know, there were only 3 or 4 people who had memorized the Quran. Now you go to Chicago, every basement has 5 people leading Taraweeh together. Every basement, every person in the house, there's one khatam here, one khatam here, one khatam there. You know, just this, I think last month or something, there was one school of Chicago that had a graduation of the memorization of the Quran. And you know how many students graduated in one day? Was it 58, 60? I think it was 60 students who completed in 1 year. But from one school, that is. Takbir. That's in Chicago. That's in, you know, 1 hour from where we're sitting right now. There are so many kids that have done it. And you can also do it. Our dear Qari Nu'man, he's also working on it. He was telling me, he said, very soon, you know, we're going to have our line of students that are going to be graduating from Hifz of the Qur'an. This is the Amr of Allah. Allah has promised it. I remember one of the young men that are sitting in this gathering, he came to me and said, "Sheikh, I've memorized a lot of the Qur'an. I still have a little left. What do I do? I'm on holiday." I said, "Go for 40 days Jamaat." Kiyon dar Hakim? Right? I said to him, and this kid right here, subhanAllah, he was my first student in Chicago, by the way. When I landed in Chicago, the first student I ever taught was this Abdul Hakim right here. The first kid I taught. Him, his brother who's sitting there, and his sister, I don't know, she's probably here somewhere. These three young kids were the first people I taught when I came to America. When I came to America, my first students were these three. And he said to me, "Sheikh, I went for 40 days, and today he met me after Maghrib, actually before Maghrib, after the lecture we had after Asr. And he said, "Sheikh, I want you to know that Alhamdulillah, I completed my memorization of the Quran." Takbir!
Allah
Takbir!
Allah
Takbir!
Allah.
This is just the beginning, my friends. هَذَا وَعْدَ اللَّهِ. This is the promise of Allah. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We all need to be a part of it, inshallah. We all have to have in on it, inshallah. We have to make an intention that we will do it. We will have everyone in our family memorize the Quran, the men and the women alike. But not only memorize it, also act upon it as well. Inshallah. Also bring the ahkamat of the Quran into our lives. There's one last part that I have to discuss that's very important that relates to this, is that the children in our communities who memorize the Quran, as elders in our communities, please, I appeal in front of you, I beg you, for the sake of Allah, I give you the sake of Allah and ask you, learn to support our young men who are serving the deen. You have to be there to support them. You guys understand that? If my community wasn't there to support me when I was young, I'm not talking about financial support, Allah will take care of that. What I'm talking about here is just moral support. Envying them, going to them, hugging them, inviting them to your house. When I was young and I was memorizing the Quran, whenever I came home for holiday, everyone in the community would take turns sending food to my house. Oh, the kid is becoming hafidh this year. The kid is becoming hafidh this year. The kid is becoming hafidh this year. Today, we don't even know the kids that are memorizing the Quran in our communities. That's one thing. And the second thing is, as community members, we should also learn to love and support the people who serve our deen. You guys understand that? I promise you, many of you have no idea what kind of sacrifice is put into being an imam of a community. I promise you that. There are times where I got phone calls at 12 o'clock at night. I was lying down next to my wife and I was just going to go to sleep. And a person calls me and says, Sheikh, I need to speak to you. I said, this is not a good time. I was just about to close my eyes. He said, not only do I need to speak to you, I need you to come to my house right now. I said, what happened? He said, my wife and I are at a very bad point. You have to come. And at that time, I turned to my wife and say, I apologize. This is a burden Allah has put on our shoulders. I have to go. And then you put your thobe on, you're rubbing your eyes, asking your wife to make you a cup of tea, carrying that in your car, driving with your feet while you're drinking some tea, and you go there and you come back 4 a.m. in the morning. And this is not a one-day thing. This happens every single day. Today morning, we woke up early, had a long day. We had a lecture after Dhuhr Salah. We had a phone conference after that lecture. After that, I came home and I was thinking that I'll get some rest. Before I knew it, a father walked inside my door. And he walked in saying, Sheikh, my son claims he's no longer Muslim. Today, at 3 o'clock. My son claims he's no longer Muslim from the Milwaukee community. And he said not only that, but my son has taken on himself to drink alcohol. He does drugs openly. And now he just went the other day, he got into a fight while he was drinking at a party in the month of Ramadan during the day hours. And someone hit him so hard that he shattered his entire jaw. And he has a wire in his jaw and he can't speak anymore. As imams, you have no idea what kind of things the community, you know, brings to us. And at times like that, when we give everything for our communities, the only thing we always ask in return is to learn to support your ulama. Be very careful of backbiting these people who give their day and night for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be very careful of having any animosity towards them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, and with this I'll end. Kun aliman. Be a scholar. Aw muta'alliman. Or be a student. Aw sami'an. If you can't be a student, at least be a listener. Aw muhibban. And if you can't be a listener, at least learn to love them. Wa la takun khamisan. But don't be the fifth person who is not a scholar, who is not a student, who doesn't listen to the scholars and also does not love the scholars, because that person is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can't love, at least don't hate. Learn to love your scholars. Learn to support them. You know, there was a tradition of people that used to love their scholars so much. أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي صَلَاحًا. I love the pious people, but I'm not one of them. It's possible Allah may allow me to stand with them on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar Kabira. I'm not one of the scholars, but I love them. It's possible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow me to be with them. My sheikh used to always say to me, that I remember once when I was Sheikh Bilal, may Allah give him a long life, when I was graduating, when I was coming back to America, I was leaving the masjid one day, and my Sheikh leaned forward, he picked up my shoes and put them on the ground. I said, Sheikh, what are you doing? You're Sheikh al-Hadith, I studied Hadith from you. He was a very great man, Khalifa of Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, the last Khalifa of Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi before he passed away. This man was a giant. And he picked up my shoes, put them on the ground for me. I said, Sheikh, what are you doing? I'm supposed to be putting your shoes on the ground. So he said something then, and I'm only narrating this story just so that we can learn a lesson. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I have no other interest of sharing this story, not to destroy my reward or lose my sincerity. He said that while you were a student in madrasa, I realized I never had to bend over to take my shoes because you always put them down for me. And I thought to myself that you would take all the reward of khidmah, and before you left, I would never get the chance to do your khidmah in return. So he put the shoes on the ground. There was a love that people had for ulama. You know, we loved our teachers. Today the Sheikh in his dua, did you guys hear a unique dua he made? What was one very unique dua that he made? He made dua for his teachers. Have you guys heard of that before? How often do you hear people making dua for their teachers on the 27th night? It's because there is a connection. We owe them something. There is a debt that we have to them. But it seems like today, the community just doesn't feel indebted to their scholars. They feel that their scholars are actually their slaves and they will dictate to their scholars everything the scholars have to do. And if the scholar is against that, they will then do baghawa and they will come and rebel against their scholars. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from this. Amen. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves the scholars. Amen. Allah azza wa jalla preserves our hafaz. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to see these nights again and again in the blessed month of Ramadan. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.